Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1097, Emergency Podcast, part 2. Again, this is your host, Danny, and also joining me once again for this podcast, we have Paris here. What's up, Paris?
Man, what is going on, man? What a freaking day. Two podcasts in one day.
Yeah, it's just insane, insane. So the breaking news is Xbox made the changes, man. They're going back. No more price hike, and I believe there's...
You want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll read, to set it up. Everyone, if you're watching this, you know or listening to this. Earlier today, Xbox announced that they were going to have a price hike for Xbox Live Gold, essentially doubling the price of Xbox Live Gold. And as you can imagine, the community was not very happy about that, and they expressed their opinion. I think a lot of it was pretty respectfully, but, you know, people were upset about it. We obviously talked about it on an emergency podcast earlier today. And apparently that message was heard loud and clear by Xbox. So I'm going to read the updated thing that they put on Xbox Wire. And this is what it says. This is updated as of January 22nd, 2021 at 8:52 p.m. in the Pacific. And they say, "We messed up today. And you were right to let us know. Connecting and playing with friends is a vital part of gaming, and we failed to meet the expectations of players who count on it every day. As a result, we have decided not to change Xbox Live Gold pricing. We're turning this moment into an opportunity to bring Xbox Live more in line with how we see the player at the center of their experience. For free-to-play games, you will no longer need an Xbox Live Gold membership to play those games on Xbox. We're working hard to deliver this change as soon as possible in the coming months. If you are an Xbox Live Gold member already, you stay at your current price for renewal. New and existing members, keyword, new and existing members can continue to enjoy Xbox Live Gold for the same prices they pay today." And then the rest is blah, blah, blah about prices. Thank you.
This is impressive.
But it goes to show you they are listening. They are listening. They are paying attention to what is being said, because nobody, I mean, literally nobody thought this was a good move. Nobody. Mm-hmm. It was the number one trending thing on social media today. That's how much people were being vocal about this. So it's good to see that Xbox Live leadership saw this and reacted accordingly. Because like I was saying earlier today, the thing about it that didn't make sense to me was, okay, you're raising the price, but you're only doing it for new people, not existing. So in other words, your loyal customers, nothing changes, but anyone, people that you're trying to recruit into the Xbox ecosystem, you're going to charge them more. What? Yeah. That makes no sense. That
makes no sense.
But I think the biggest thing about all of this is it forced, I don't even say forced, but at least brought to their attention how ridiculous it was that free-to-play games, you had to pay to play them on Xbox Live. That didn't make any sense either. So when you think about a Fortnite, you think about an Apex Legends, you think about a Warzone, Destiny 2, Halo Infinite, they're free-to-play games, right? You're telling me it's free to play those games, but you were still going to charge me $60, or hell, they were going to try and do $120 a year just to play them. But on the PC, I didn't have to pay anything. Or on PlayStation, your competition, it was free too. That didn't make any sense either. So this was the right move. If you've been spitting this message for the X amount of years now, getting all this goodwill with Game Pass and Play Anywhere, xCloud, all of these goodwill things that you've been doing the past few years, they were almost about to flush all of it down the toilet, literally, with this announcement, because nobody was happy with it and it didn't make any sense. And it went against everything they've been saying the past few years. And you, Danny, called it perfectly. This felt like a move they would have done in 2013. It felt like Don Matrick He put on the ski mask and came in and he put the hydrochlor and took out Phil Spencer and took over Xbox. That's what it seemed like to me.
Yeah.
Yep. You know what I'm saying? Because wait, what? This didn't make any sense. So it's good that they reacted to this accordingly, rolled it back, and actually improved Xbox Live. Xbox Live is better tonight than it was this morning. Yes. That's the way I look at it. So they screwed up. They deserve to get what was said to them. Abso-frickin-lutely. But they reacted to it accordingly. And that, to me, that's good leadership. That's leadership saying, let's take a lessons learned from the past and not make this mistake again. Again, I don't know how this ever got approved and announced, whatever, but at least they reacted to it and they fixed it. And good on them for doing that.
And here's one thing, Paris, too. Like, I was bummed out today, man, hearing that news, because I'm like, man, I hope it doesn't turn back to the 2013 Xbox, you know, with Don Matrick and all that stuff. So thank God they made the changes. But didn't Phil Spencer also reply to you right now?
He did.
He replied to you.
I will tell you exactly what he said if I can find it, because a lot of people have tweeted at me now. Hold on.
Let me break the fourth wall, but thank you, Kind of Funny, for the raid, man. Just want to say that real quick. Thank you so much.
Okay, here's what Phil Spencer said to me 11 minutes ago. He said, apologies for all the angst and emotion this caused today for our customers. As always, we appreciate the feedback. This is a good learning opportunity for us, and we will learn from it. And that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Here's literally the head of Xbox coming on social media, and he had apologized to me, but it's like, we screwed up. And let's fix this immediately. Let's lessen the damage that this potentially could have caused. Because for them, luckily, they did do this on a Friday and it was going into the weekend. Imagine they did this on a Monday and you got the freaking New York Times, you got the Washington Post, you got CNN, all the big sites are talking about this. And some of them did anyways. But this could have been even worse than it already was. And at least now they've walked it back and they can say, oops, we made a mistake, but they fixed it. So good on them for doing that. But I I'm just glad they did it. And it's not so much for me, because look, I have Game Pass Ultimate. I'm happy with it. It wasn't going to affect me, but it's the people that all they care about is playing Fortnite. All they care about is playing Madden, as an example, right? I had a lot of people hit me up on social media saying that today. It was like, look, all I want to do is play Madden. That's all I care about. Why are you charging them $120 a year to play Madden? That makes no sense, right? When they could go to their competition and not pay nothing, or they go on the PC and not pay anything. That's what didn't make sense about all this. It was almost like you were being penalized for being on the console. So it's good that they've made this change. And look, you didn't need to do this to make Game Pass look great. It was already a great service. It was already a great value. We obviously praise it all the time. Don't lessen the value of Xbox Gold by overcharging for it to make the subscription service of Game Pass look better, because that's what this was essentially, right? So it's good that they recognize that and they fixed it. And I think what's the saying? You catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. And that's what this is, in my opinion, right? They were putting a sour taste in people's mouths to try and get them to go to something that honestly is the better thing to subscribe to. But this was the wrong way to do it. So good for them for changing it.
Now, and I'm glad that all of us were being very vocal. Even people that are huge, huge fans of Xbox were like, yeah, this is not the right move, man. You know, and look, people make mistakes. I just want to know how this conversation came up and why it was approved, because I want them to learn from this lesson and not make the same mistakes in the future, man. You know, because look, Paris, I think you were the one that brought this up many times on the show.
Yeah.
It was the trip that you went to, I believe it was San Francisco.
2016. Press
event. Mm-hmm. You felt like this is like the change that Xbox is doing. This is going to the right path. Like, this is what they need to do. And that was the early stages of when Phil took over as a head of Xbox. And then throughout the years, they started talking more with the community and making really cool moves, and then Game Pass, etc. Like, we need more of that.
Yeah.
And this was basically starting from scratch again, taking it back to 2013, because like I said, it reminded me of Don Matrick. He would, look, if he would have been head of Xbox, I can guarantee you there would have been no change. It was, still would have been the same and everything. It's true, because he is that type of person. Like, yeah. Look, he's one of those like, okay, we're number one. We're the top selling console right now. We don't need to talk with the community. Let's make these changes our way, and we're not going back. This is how we're going to stay. Look, like, he's really close-minded, but Phil is not that type of person.
No.
That's why I was in shock when I saw this news. I'm like, really? Phil approved this? I don't get it. But I'm glad that he replied to you, though, man. And
yeah.
And I'm glad that he made the changes, man. This is good.
I agree. Completely agree. Like, and again, I'm not trying to crap on Don Matrick, but it's he would have said something like, well, we have an option if you don't want Xbox Live Gold. It's called Xbox Game Pass. He would have said some nonsense like that, and that would just would have turned people off even more. So, like I said, nobody's perfect. No company is perfect. Companies are in this. It's a business. They're in this to make money. So clearly there was a method to their madness. And like I had been saying earlier in the day, even if I don't like the explanation, get a human being to actually explain this to me, why you did this. Clearly, they realized there was no good explanation for this. Roll it back, because no one was going to be happy about this. I don't think they could have justified this to their consumers. And like I said, the way they did this, it wasn't about someone like me or you who have been Xbox Live Gold members since day freaking one. And we've had this service for years, over a decade at this point, right? Hell, almost two decades. It's about new people that want to jump on. It's about the next generation of people that you're trying to get into your ecosystem. You have to give them an incentive to want to join. And overcharging them for your base service ain't the way, right? I still say, even though this is good, they're doing this, I still say I don't get the point of Xbox Live Gold. I still say, get rid of it altogether. Have GamePad, make multiplayer, like free to play is a great first step for this. Mm-hmm. Just make multiplayer free. Just like, remember at one point in time, you had to have gold for Netflix back in the day.
Yeah.
And they got rid of that. Do that for multiplayer games, period. Because you don't do it on the PC. Just get rid of it. Take those gold perks and put them in the Game Pass Ultimate. Ultimately, that's where you want everybody anyways, right? You want them to subscribe to Game Pass Ultimate. Make that the incentive. Ultimately, this is a baby step to get there. But like I said, I don't even understand the point of gold anymore. I really don't. I don't even think it needs to be a thing anymore. Just make multiplayer free and we can go from there. But we'll see. Like I said, I'm not going to sit here and complain too much at this point, because at least they did the right thing and made the change. But I still think there's work to do for them by the end. By the time Halo Infinite comes out, I would really like to see gold just go away. But even if it doesn't, at least for a game like Halo Infinite, which clearly is going to be their flagship crown jewel at the end of 2021, they're saying the multiplayer is going to be free to play. Now, anyone that has an Xbox or on the PC can just play it for free and don't have to worry about paying, basically a service fee with Xbox Live Gold. So that's a good thing.
You know, here's my theory. What I think, why they made this change. I think the company needed a certain amount of subscribers to make a profit, or maybe they have a goal, you know, like company-wise, right? For how many subscribers is part of Xbox Game Pass. I think they wanted to force people doing it the wrong way to subscribe to Game Pass and not Xbox Live, because now you're comparing, okay, I'll get free games, I could play also online through Ultimate. Why I'm going to pay Xbox Live Gold $120? Let me just move it to this side. I think that's what they were trying to do, and it was a stupid move, a very stupid move. Because, look, I think based on everybody's feedback, because look, what I haven't heard anything bad about Xbox Game Pass. A lot of people have been talking about discovering new games, especially indie games, getting those first party games day one. It's always been positive. You know, I think that's the right way. When you show the value and you talked about it, and your friends, like word of mouth, grassroots, everybody's talking about it, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's the right way to get people to subscribe, but not forcing people to join Xbox Live Gold just because it's expensive. That's a dumb move. So I'm glad that they made this change. Now promote Game Pass in a way that show the value. promote this on TV, promote it. If you want to get that massive mainstream artist that doesn't know about Game Pass, there's different ways to do it. Go to late night shows or something, you know, like get that crowd. Us, the hardcore, we're doing our part talking about it because we love it. We enjoy the service, you know, and we've been doing it on social media. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, the easiest way for them that they could have done all this, just keep adding kick-ass games to the service. That's the number one way you will get people to subscribe to Game Pass. The more you show the value of it, the more people are going to want to invest into it. Because like I said, I was ready to come in here with my freaking pom-poms and my skirt on and my heels and just cheerlead Donut County and Game Pass. That was my goal for this episode until this news came out, right? That's what I wanted to talk about because I found that to be a prime example of the value of this service, the discovery of this service, to show you games that I never would have played that I get to play because of a service like Game Pass, right? That's the secret sauce of it. Not trying to overcharge for another service to try and bully me into subscribing to that service. So those are the kind of things that you need to promote, along with your AAA games that you're going to put out, like Halo and Forza and all that. But then you also have these third-party things like Control is on there right now, right? Injustice 2 is on there right now. You know, things like that. That's how you get people to come on. Obviously, EA Play is another incentive. Like, even when I recorded XCast earlier today, somehow we got on the topic of Titanfall. I forget how. And I was telling Gary Whitta about how Titanfall 2 campaign is one of the best shooter campaigns ever. Just ever. It's a fantastic campaign, right? He never played it. And I was like, oh, you go play it right now. It's on Game Pass. He's like, it is? I'm like, yeah, it's part of EA Play. He's like, oh my God, I have no excuse. That's the stuff that we're talking about. Do that. And I know I'm shilling for Game Pass, and I do it with zero shame because I think it is a great service. But this kind of news with the gold thing almost ruined a good thing. You see what I'm saying? So I'm glad they rolled it back quickly, you know, so they could save some face on it. And then obviously as time goes by, people even forget this happened. It'll just become a joke. And then by the time we get to the, you know, like the summer and all that with all the new announcements, guess what you promote? And this game is coming on Game Pass. And here's what we Game Pass, Game Pass, Game Pass. Nobody wants to talk about Xbox Live Gold. I don't want to talk about it. Who wants to talk about that? You know, that's a relic from a decade ago. Like I said, the best thing they could ultimately do is to just sunset that service completely. Take all the incentives that Gold gives you, like with the free games every month and all that. It's already an ultimate. Let it live there. Multiplayer's free. Done. That, to me, that's the best consumer-friendly move they could possibly do for the Xbox ecosystem. Because again, right now, cloud streaming lives in Ultimate. EA Play lives in Ultimate. Like I said, the gold perks live in Ultimate. PC gaming, which you can get separately, but that also lives in Ultimate. $15 a month. To me, like I said, best value in gaming. I don't see why they need to try and overprice something else to promote that. You don't need to do that.
I think that's going to happen in the future, though, Paris. I think once they have a certain amount of subscribers worldwide, because look, let's keep it real, they're trying to get that mobile crowd. They're trying to get that mobile crowd, which is what, over a billion mobile users worldwide? They want to get them to be part of Game Pass. Once they have that amount of, I'm not saying a billion, but a certain amount, that they have this like a goal for how many people subscribe to the service, I think that's when we're going to see Xbox Live Gold gone or free or part of Xbox Game Pass, that you don't even need the Xbox Live Gold anymore. That's what I think. And I thought that's what was going to happen this year. But once I saw this announcement earlier today, I'm like, oh, well, I guess Xbox Live Gold is going to continue for a while, you know. But but you never know. It might change. Look, I think once we get to see, like you said earlier, once we get to see those first-party exclusive games, part of the service, especially like Bethesda, coming out this hopefully this year with Starfield, you know, and games like that in the future, Halo and... Oh my God, there's so many other ones in the future. Fable, right? I think that's when we're going to see Xbox Live gone.
No, and that's what I mean. We know that those games are coming. That's just going to add to the value of it. This move right now felt like they weren't being patient. You weren't being patient to realize that it's going to happen. There will be a day when Xbox Live Gold is just not relevant to their plans anymore. Get rid of it, because Game Pass will be able to stand on its own. It's almost there now. Just got to be patient and let that happen on its own naturally, versus this, which just comes off anti-consumer. I mean, I don't know any other way to say it. I saw that this morning. I was like, wait, what? That can't be right. And then I thought about it for a little bit and I go, ugh, I don't like this. And I said as much. And obviously you said the same and other people said that. It just felt it didn't feel like the Xbox that we've seen the past 4 or 5 years. This did not seem like a move they would do. Everything that they have done has been, like they even said, they're catering it towards the gamer. They want the experience to be about the player. They're trying to put you at the center, play wherever you want kind of thing. That's the message that they've been putting out here and stuff like this. I'm like, you're almost telling me, you know, you want to overcharge me to play on console. That doesn't make any sense. Why are you doing that? So yeah. I'm glad they made this change.
Yeah. Look, man, Paris. And I'm gonna show this on camera because I know we talked about this earlier. Mm-hmm. This is the original disc of Xbox Live Gold. I mean, Xbox Live back in 2002, yeah. Summer of 2002. Yeah. This is the original disc right here. NFL Fever 2003 beta version, right? This changed the industry so much back in the days. Xbox has the same opportunity, and I think they're making that major change in the industry with Xbox Game Pass. Promote that, and you're going to see the competition is also going to be doing the same thing, and they probably be inspired, like, yo, it worked for Xbox, let's do it for our companies. Like, that's the type of change we need to see, not let's keep it the same way 18 years ago, but let's double the price. Like, that's not that's not the right way, you know? So they have the opportunity to make that change, man. They did it back then. Yo, move forward, man. You know, remember buying that original console? It was a game changer, Ethernet in there, right? Hard drive storage in there too, everything. And everybody was like, yo, this is something totally new, because back then everybody was like memory cards and it was like totally new. We also had to depend on a 56K modem if we wanted to play online. Like, they made those changes throughout the years. Xbox has, you know.
Wait, you're saying, yeah, because Xbox. The original Xbox didn't have a 56K modem.
No, Dreamcast had it.
Yeah, Dreamcast
had it.
But it depended on, look, now we're going into weeds. It depended on which Dreamcast you had, because the one I had was a 33.3K modem. It wasn't 56K. Because I had one, the original Dreamcast didn't have 56K modem in it.
What are you talking about? I bought it at $99.99.
Go look it up. Hold on.
It was a 56K modem.
Keep talking.
I don't know. Hey, look, chat, please modem. Let me know, because I know when I bought my console, it was a 56K modem. Unless you bought the European version, that was a different modem than the US version. You can look it up. I know I'm right. I know I'm right. See, look, everybody's saying, yeah, 56K modem. Look, you know what happened? Paris bought that
Peter
console.
Moore, the Dreamcast had a 33.key modem. Yes.
What?
No. Yes. I'm looking at it right now. Peter Moore tweeted this on September 9th, 2014. Hold on. Okay, hold on. Let me read this now. Certain of those failures have gone by the innovations, and I'll bet through 56 came on those change of face.
Yeah.
But then he says something about 33. Hold on. While Dreamcast online capabilities were coined, phrase would take in where. Hold on now. Where did I just
look?
Say this?
I remember mine said 56K when I got that console. I don't know how we went from Xbox Live Gold to this.
No.
European version.
Someone replied to him and said, nah, the Dreamcast had a 33.3 modem. Peter, take the rose tinted glasses off. That was a reply. I'm telling you, let me find an official page of this.
Oh my God. I don't know. I think he's
okay.
Wrong.
Here's Eurogamer.
And you're wrong.
No, Eurogamer saying this.
Europe, yes, not US. US was 56K.
Yeah, because Eurogamer saying, yeah, it was 33.3.
Yes, the European version, yeah. So you went to a bootleg store and bought the 30 version.
Maybe I did. No, I got my Dreamcast from Toys R Us. I remember.
Are you sure it wasn't like a local...
it was
Tampa,
Toys R Us.
Tampa.
Wow.
Random.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Man, I'm living in San Diego then. Leave me alone.
I was going to say some random, some mom and pop Toys R Us store in Tampa. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That is so funny. That's good. That is good. But anyways, look, man, I'm happy. I'm glad that Xbox made this change, man. And it's looking bright for the company now, man. I was a little bit worried this morning. I'm not going to lie. I was like, this is not good, man. Not good. So Paris, before we go.
Yeah.
What do you think will be next now for Xbox? Now, okay, they already let this one go already. Focus on the games. The Medium comes out next week. What's next after that? What's next? Game Pass, right?
Yeah, it's interesting because clearly we have no idea. I mean, they put out that list of the 30 games that are going to be exclusive and come out, but they've not put any dates on anything. So we don't know what the next big thing is going to be for them. Like you said, we'll probably see some indie and double A titles sprinkled throughout the year. They'll come to Game Pass. I guess Psychonauts 2 is probably going to be the next big game for them, right? I would imagine.
I don't know. It sounds like that game is not going to come out in spring. I feel like they're taking their time until the game is right. That's what I think.
Could be. It very well could be. I mean, we'll see. I mean, obviously we don't know. Well, you know, I think the next big thing is going to be when that Bethesda deal is final and then they can start talking about it. I think that's going to be the next big thing for them. The next big, oh my God, because I think we'll quickly find out, are the majority of the games going exclusive? Are they not going exclusive? What's going to happen? Stuff like that. Then obviously they'll have their E3-esque event in the summer. So there'll be big announcements there. It sounds like Halo has already announced they're going to start doing flights for Halo Infinite. You can sign up for those. So I would imagine those are going to be happening throughout the year as well. I mean, they're in a good position, you know, gaming wise. Like I said, we say it a million times. I love the services that they have. Now we just got to start getting more games for it. The Medium obviously is coming here next week. Excited for that. And then, yeah, Psychonauts 2, Halo Infinite, and we'll see the rest. I'll say this one because I talked about it on XCast. I'm really looking forward to Echo Generation. Can't wait for that one. That's a kind of an indie double A game that's going to be on Game Pass. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to Scorn when that comes out. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean it's going to be some stuff. Definitely going to be some stuff for Xbox. It's going to be good.
I heard there's a couple of unannounced games that's also coming out this year, and I know I read this online somewhere a couple months ago. I think it was like sometime the end of last year. They have a couple surprises that hasn't been announced yet.
Yeah.
From Xbox. That's going to happen this year too.
I keep saying, remember, Halo Infinite was already supposed to be out. They've had a roadmap. Phil Spencer's talked about this. They've had a roadmap of games. There is a game that's supposed to come out this holiday that we just don't know about yet. So, and it's not a Bethesda game. So, because that was before the Bethesda deal, right? So there's something coming this holiday that's unannounced. That's going to be a quote-unquote big AAA game, I think. I hope.
Big AAA game.
And not Forza. I don't think it's Forza. I think Forza comes, but I don't think that's it. So, or Forza
could
Horizon,
be,
I should say.
I know this is kind of random, but could it be a Banjo game?
That's funny you say that because Gary said that to me earlier. It's going to be Banjo. And I'm like, I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to jinx it. I don't even want to say Banjo. I hope it's Banjo, but I don't want to jinx it.
That would be dope. I think that would be cool. Because look, yeah. I think that's a game that even the Nintendo crowd will be like, oh, well, I'm playing this some way, somehow.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason. There's a reason why Banjo-Kazooie is available on the Nintendo Switch Smash Brothers. There's a reason for that. It's to get that crowd. And to remember a couple weeks ago, there was a post from Nintendo of Japan posted that a Banjo game was going to be available for the Wii U. Or was it for the Wii U or something? Oh, for the Wii, one of those two consoles. Mm-hmm. And it said Microsoft Japan. So everybody, wait a minute. Who is playing this? Who's playing Wii U still? Because supposedly the store got shut down a long time ago. You know, maybe it's coming out for the Switch. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Rare Replay comes out. Certain games from that will be available for Nintendo Switch. So when Xbox starts announcing games like Banjo-Kazooie or whatever, now you could play those games exclusively on Xbox, the platform. It could be on Game Pass. It could be the console or PC. So that's why I still think that Banjo is coming out. I don't know if it's this year or what, but that could be one of the unannounced games, man.
Look, I hope so. I'm at the point I don't even want to jinx it. If you remember when we were at E3 2019 and me and Khalif, you can remember Khalif was just hating the whole time, but
yes,
we're all sitting together and I just knew it. I was like, it's coming. And then it was just a Smash Brothers thing on Switch. And then that was it. So I hope so, man. I really do. To me, it's ironic that they finally announced Perfect Dark, but it's like Perfect Dark and Banjo were those two rare titles that were just sitting on the shelf. And it's just like, do something with them. I mean, people love those IPs. I mean, they were fantastic on the Nintendo 64. Bring them to the modern age now. I just think, and look, I love Ori. Ori is a good platformer, but I still feel like Xbox is lacking that a Mario-esque platformer. It's just simply not there. Hell, even PlayStation now, between Astro's Playroom and Sackboy, they got two great platformers. You know, Xbox, in my opinion, doesn't have that. I mean, look, Cuphead is an exercise in frustration. You might love it, but it's not like it's too much of a challenge. Almost like you're playing freaking Demon Souls or something, right? They need that, and maybe Psychonauts 2 is obviously going to fall into that space, but I want to see Banjo come back. It was such a great platformer on the Nintendo 64. And I think you could look how Mario has continued to evolve itself over the years. It doesn't stay static. They're always doing something new with Mario, and it's always something, not always, but they do innovative things and fun things with Mario to keep Mario fresh. It never gets boring. Like, I mean, look at Odyssey, Galaxy, even the one that's about to come out that was on the Wii U. They always do fun things with Sunshine, even though I wasn't a huge fan of it. You know what I mean? You could do that with Banjo. You could. The characters are there. They're relatable. People like them. There's things they could do. So I hope they do something with it.
And I think the right way to do it is get a younger studio, brand new studio, up and coming, right, that are hungry. And they'll make those games instead of Rare. Wait, hold on. And it's like similar to Streets of Rage 4. It was a totally new studio that worked on Streets of Rage 4, you know, and that game is fantastic, you know, so they could do that. And I know you were going to say something, but go ahead. I think I know what you're going to say.
Well, then say it then, Sparty Pants. What do you think I was going to say?
Saint Shaver?
No. Ah, see, no. Nope.
Double fine?
Sure, I sure wasn't. That is not what I was going to say. I was going to say, go get the studio that makes Yooka-Laylee, because, hell, that's the studio that made Banjo-Kazooie. There you go. It's a wrap. Get the guys that made the damn game in the first place. Let them make it. How about that?
Yo, why are you screaming at me, man? Why are you screaming? See, people, we have 210 people watching. You see how Paris is with me? You see? I was being super nice.
Oh,
yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. What's up? Yeah.
No, just because this news dropped, we didn't talk about it earlier. So you see, Vicarious Visions got folded into Blizzard.
What do you think of that?
I hate it. Absolutely hate it.
I'm not really feeling it, to tell the truth.
I absolutely hate it.
Not feeling it.
I don't know if you remember this. There was a point in time where Vicarious Visions was working with Bungie on Destiny 2. What was it? Warmind, I think they created. And they did the Tangled Shore, I believe, and they did one of the raids, I want to say, too. But anyways, my point is, they're pretty talented. And I honestly thought if Bungie walked away from Destiny and Activision kept the IP, I was like, oh, they're going to give it to Vicarious Visions. They could totally do it. That studio was staffing up a few years ago, and I'm thinking, oh, man, maybe they're going to make an original IP or something. And now they're just going to be a support studio for Blizzard. I was like, ugh. I don't know, not a fan of that.
Look, man, Activision completely shut down one of my favorite studios, man, years ago. And I'm gonna take it back, Paris. Do you remember the studio that worked on Project Gotham Racing?
Don't even say it, because I'm I'm screwing it up. I want to say the studio name. I know the studio name. Project Gotham Racing was Bizarre Creations.
Bizarre Creations. Yep. And what was the car game that they released?
What's that?
There was Let's see, we're live.
Oh!
We're live, guys. We're live. This is how we do it.
Oh, this is an emergency podcast. I know. I got my lip over there. I got to finish
it. Aaron's like, no, this is an emergency podcast. I'm leaving that on. I'm leaving that. That's perfect.
Leave it in there. She was like, you got your liquor sitting over here. You're recording.
Yo, somebody clip that, please.
I don't care.
Oh my god, that was amazing. No, so Activision acquired that studio, Bizarre Creations, and they had a racing game. They even had a beta that we played. I forgot. Was it Oh my god, what's the name of the game? It reminded me of like a Mario Kart game. Blur.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Amazing game. Yeah. Amazing. Shut down. And that was like one of the first games. So I don't know. I just don't like when a company like Activision acquired a studio, because if they release a game that they worked on and it doesn't sell, shut it down. They're known for that. That's why I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know how I feel about this. And that's a great studio, we're saying. They're a really dope studio.
No, I agree. That's why when I saw that news, I was like, oh man, that's disappointing. Yeah. I was really hoping they would at least get a shot to like make their own thing. You know, because like I said, I really liked the stuff that they had done on Destiny 2. So, and then obviously they had done some stuff with Tony Hawk and all that back in the day as well. So, yeah, it's unfortunate.
No, it was beautiful. Hey, I'm on an emergency podcast. Oh my god! No, so you know what, Paris? We're gonna wrap it up so you can go ahead and have your drink. But it was a great conversation today. It was a roller coaster ride today, man.
It was crazy. No, but real talk on it. I know that was funny. I literally had posted, because I'll have like some sparkling ice and vodka. You know, it's like my little Friday night cocktail. I literally took it out. I had poured it everything. And all of a sudden, shit hit the fan. And I ran in here and I closed the door. So she's like, you left your liquor out there.
No, it's all good. It's all good. And by the way, Paris, before you leave.
Yeah.
Yo, for the love of God, whoever's watching this, listening, please watch WandaVision Episode 3.
Yes, absolutely.
Please.
It's starting to get real now.
Woo, man.
Yeah.
I can't wait for next week. You know what it is? It's difficult to watch it, and then we have to wait a week later. I mean, I love that it takes time for us to like talk about the show and everything, right? But man, please make it a little bit longer, dude. 30 minutes is not, it's too short, man. It's too short. Well, it's too good.
They did say that Falcon and the Winter Soldier is going to be closer to an hour each episode. Okay. So that's good. But if you look at what they're doing, and I know we're about to get out of here, but as much as I wish I just had all the episodes right now, in a way, I am glad that they're staging it out, because it's something to look forward to every Friday. And what Disney is doing is they said there's going to be something MCU related every week almost literally every week, but close to it. Basically, they're going to have MCU content the rest of the year. Because we're going to get Falcon and Winter Soldier after this. You're going to get Loki after that. You're going to get What If after that. You're going to get Hawkeye. And I think it's Miss Marvel. I could be wrong.
Isn't it She-Hulk? She-Hulk. But that's 2022,
no, that's
right?
Later. But I'm talking just 2021. I think all that stuff comes out 2021.
All right. Yeah. Dope. Really cool.
Yep.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio Emergency Podcast episode. Once again, part 2 in a day. That is insane. Episode 1097. This is your host, Danny, and also my co-host, Paris Lele. And remember, if you would like to be part of our fan mail segment or episode, here's how you can contact us. Remember, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio, and we're there. Just subscribe, follow us, and also post a review will help us out. And stay tuned. We have more content coming up this week. We have a lot coming out this week. And the 16th anniversary of Gamertag Radio is coming up, and I have a surprise coming up, and that's all I will say.
My surprise is I got to get my liquor.
Yeah, go your liquor. Go get your liquor, man. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Until next time. We're out.
Thanks. Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.